Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game live this morning. Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise. Big finish coming up at 9:45. We've got our picks coming up at the bottom of the hour. Still some more stuff to get into with the Titans and the Vols. But one thing I do want to mention, and quickly, we've got Predators tonight. They skate with the Lightning, puck drop at 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Back in Nashville tomorrow night for a 7 o'clock start against Tampa Bay. But one thing that I really think could pay dividends, and I'm excited to see, is a tweak with the power play. We've known for the longest time, it's always been three forwards and two defensemen on the first power play unit. And we know the struggles last year. We saw the struggles in the doubleheader, 0 for 10 on Monday's two-game stretch against Florida. But now it looks like they're tinkering and could very well be going with this, where a 4-by-1 approach with the Jofa line and Matt Duchene, along with Roman Josi, that is ultimate firepower. I love that idea. I think this is as good as it could possibly. If it doesn't work this time, I don't know what will work.
I mean, they ran a lot of 4-by-1 last year with Forsberg. Forsberg's run the point a lot on the power play in the past, and it didn't work. The difference is you're adding an elite-level center to the group. Now, it looks like Matt Duchene's going to play in front of the net on the power play. We know Ryan Johansson's going to play the half wall. We know Forsberg and Josi will be on the points. And that leaves Arvidsson to sort of just wreak havoc all over the place. But to your point, there's never been a more talented offensive collection of weapons that the Preds have ever run out there on a first-line power play that I can remember. When you go Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Duchene, Josi, every one of those guys can score in any given second. And so, to your point, like Duchene talked about it, he's going to be in the front of the net. At least he's going to start there. We know where Johansson wants to play. We know where Josi and Forsberg are going to play. It is as talented a collection of offensive weapons that the Preds have ever had on their first-line power play. There's no question about that. So, to your point, there's not really a lot of excuses, and frankly, they can't go anywhere but up.
I mean, just to me, when you look at those four guys, plus Josi, plus Dan Lambert with a new approach, and maybe just a different voice, a different set of eyes, a different philosophical approach, I mean, if you talk about changing things up for the sake of improvement, I don't know that you can do more than this, and at least on paper, at least it gives it a little bit of excitement. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what it does and if, in fact, you know, what level of improvement we get.
And I think the question is how do we know when we're going to know? is a weird question to ask. But to me, that's like
10 games?
Yeah, I mean, if they're great in the first three or four games, it doesn't mean it's fixed. If they're terrible in the first three or four games, it doesn't mean it's broken. It's sort of like overreacting to three football games. You kind of have to give it 3 weeks or a month and a half, 6 weeks to really truly find out what a team is. Again, the St. Louis Blues were in last place in January, had fired their coach, and were using a rookie goaltender and won a cup. That blows every strategy that's ever been thought of about hockey out of the water last year. So you got to wait and see where it takes time and, you know, all that stuff. Lavi gave probably his most honest and open answer of the postseason interviews at the end of the year last year, when he gave a 6-minute answer about what he tried on the power play, and he basically told us, we literally tried every possible thing any coach could ever try to fix this issue, and it just never worked. So I hope a fresh restart is just what they need. Oh, by the way, you introduce Matt Duchene into the first line. All of a sudden, maybe you've got more firepower and a fresh restart. Maybe that's what helps.
And speaking of a fresh restart, I think the Tennessee Titans certainly could use one of those right now after last night's 20-7 debacle down in Jacksonville. And it's amazing, you know, after week one, and again, it's 1 week, you know, you smoked Cleveland, the Texans lost, the Colts lost, the Jaguars lost, and here we are. Now we sit back, we wait and see what Houston does, what the Colts do on Sunday. You look up, all of a sudden, the standings have been flipped in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you could be in last place.
Taylor Lewan could be the fresh restart you need, and he's still a week away.
Yeah, you can't afford to, and once they're done with the Atlanta game, they're a quarter of a way done with the season, because you take them in fours. And if you come out of this minus Taylor Lewan, 1-3, that's not a good start. 0-2 in the division, and you still hadn't played Houston yet. Then you got Indy at Indy later on in the season. Good thing you got Jacksonville back here. But these problems that you have, the ineptness of the offense, not being consistent offensively, And, you know, can you say, well, some of it can be tied to Taylor Lewan? Yeah, you can say that. But, I mean, these are the same problems they were having with Taylor, you know, anchoring the left side last year. So, yeah, this game to me, even though it's not a division game or a conference game, is still a must win, because I know teams have, you know, rallied the troops after a 1-3 start and have made the playoffs. But it's going to be very hard if they end up the first four games of the season 1-3.
And the whole thing about this is they are, at least from my perspective, with trying to figure out what they're going to do each and every week, they're the most difficult team to predict. I thought they were going to beat the Colts. Or excuse me, I thought they were going to lose to the Browns, beat the Colts and Jaguars. They have done the opposite each and every week. I'm going to go in thinking they've got no chance against Atlanta, get beat by 10 points. You know what will happen? They'll win by 17.
Yeah. Well, we talked to Lee Sterling about this, our gambling expert on Fridays, 8 o'clock. The Colts are favored against the Falcons, folks. Like, this is not – the Colts aren't some joke of a team. This was a team that if Andrew Luck was playing, I might have picked him to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC. So it's not like it's just a bunch of scrubs out there. They didn't lose to a bad team last week. Again, the Falcons, who we all think are just destined to crush Tennessee's soul next week, Falcons are an underdog to the Colts. The Colts are a favorite right now. Now, it's only a 2-point spread. They're at home. I get that that's Vegas saying that these teams are about the same with a slight edge to Atlanta. But if you'd have told me that the Colts would be favored at home against Atlanta in week three with Andrew Luck retiring, I think that's a testament to Frank Reich and the job that the way that roster is organized. And you know, the coaching to me was probably the biggest difference last week in that game. Last night I didn't think they got out-coached. I thought Vrabel made some mistakes. You know, the offensive line, you can't give up 9 sacks. And the Jacksonville defense, we also have to give credit to them. Jacksonville's defensive line is really, really good. We knew that all summer. We talked about it all summer, that's going to be a tall ask for a Lewan-less offensive line. I don't know if Atlanta is not nearly as good as Jacksonville, Calais Campbell, Josh Allen, Yannick Ngakoue, whatever. But they got some dudes on defense too. They got some guys that can fly around and make plays, so they're going to have to play a perfect game. And it'll be interesting to watch what Atlanta does to the Colts this weekend, see how they look.
But the thing about this Falcons game is, yeah, defensively they're not close to Jacksonville, but the amount of weapons that Atlanta has is pretty scary. If you're the Titans, I don't see you winning a game next week against Atlanta on the road playing a 17-13 ugly brand of football. You're going to have to get into the 20s against Matt Ryan to win that game.
Yeah, you're going to have to put up some points. Now, you know, the Titans defense has been able to, you know, contain, you know, high powered offenses. So I'm not, am I worried about that, you know, that they're going to give up 30 or 40 points? No. But I mean, when Atlanta gets on a roll, you have to cover the hold field with Atlanta. You have to cover Julio Jones. You have to cover Calvin Ridley. You have to cover the running back, the tight ends. Matt Ryan has the ability to distribute the ball to everybody. And if you're not disciplined in what you do defensively, then you could get exposed. Now, the good thing about the Titans defense, they are, from a schematic standpoint, you know, attention to detail, they are disciplined in regards to that. But I mean, they got 9 days to prepare for Atlanta, so they get this mini bye week, so they can do some self scouting, and really, it's almost as they could take the same approach they took for Cleveland, they can take for Atlanta, where you got that extra day or two to really, you know, game plan for, and you get to watch them. You know, you get to watch them on television.
Against a team that you know everything about because you just played them. I, you know, to me, I'm not as – this sounds weird. Because you feel comfortable with the Titans having one of the better defenses in the NFL, you just sort of go, all right, if you're playing a great offense, this is the NFL. Like, the NFL is you're going to play some really good teams with some really good offenses and really good quarterbacks. Oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is on the schedule later this year. Deshaun Watson is on the schedule twice. It was going to be Drew Brees. We don't know what the Saints are going to look like when they come to town. But they shut down Tom Brady last year. Like, they destroyed the Packers here a couple years ago when the Packers ended up in the NFC Championship game. So it's one of those where you kind of just have to say, you know, I throw my hands up. I trust Dean Pease. I trust the personnel on defense to have a good game, because that's the way they were built to win anyway. The question is, can the offense generate enough points to make it a close game? You know, that Cleveland game was 15-13 with like 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So it was a low-scoring, dirty game. And then Derrick Henry has the long screen pass, and it kind of busts open after that. That's the same style you want to kind of make it dirty and make Matt Ryan work hard, because Matt Ryan has had games where he just disappears too. I mean, we rip on Mariota for that all the time. Matt Ryan's had some inconsistency throughout his career as well.
This team is the third-ranked defense in the National Football League, giving up 17 points per game. They're giving up just under 200 yards passing per game. What hurts them is that they're giving up over 100 yards per rushing.
Yeah.
Per game. So this is a really good defense, and you're going against, you know, an Atlanta Falcon offense that's, yeah, they got a lot of, you know, they got a lot of playmakers, but, you know, they're not one of the top offenses in the National Football League. After 2 weeks, they're only averaging 18 points a game. They're not even averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah.
So with all of these weapons that Atlanta has, they're basically the same offense as the Tennessee Titans. You know, they're averaging below 20 points per game. So that might work in a Titans' favor going to Atlanta.
Okay, coming up bottom of the hour, our football picks against the spread. So last opportunity, last call when we come back, 615-737-1025. If you were unable to get in the first couple of hours on the Titans conversation, you can jump aboard right now, 615-737-1025. Titans calls next on Morning Drive on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live this morning from Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel, where the ham and chive biscuit is delectable.
Yeah. It's good. Strong roll.
So good.
Yep. Delectable is a good word, by the way.
Mm. It is.
Very underutilized.
Yummy. Yum, 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 yum.
All right, let's get to your Titans calls on that note.
What? Nice commentary, D.
Good talk, boss. Let's go to Drew, who's next on Morning Drive talking some Titans. What's up, Drew?
What's going on, guys? This is
what's happening?
It's Vrabeline, y'all's favorite fantasy name.
Now, Drew, let me ask you a question, Drew. Do you work with my wife?
I do not. Unless she's a real estate agent.
No, never mind. I thought maybe it's Vrabeline might have been the guy that works with my wife. Anyway, sorry, Drew.
No, it's all good.
First place, by the way. You're in first place, by the way.
I know. First place, most points, so pretty excited about it. But anyways, I'm pretty upset about last night. I saw a tweet this morning that pretty accurately described it. You go from pumped up before the game, first quarter you're sort of concerned, and then you're just depressed by halftime. The coaching was inexcusable. All night, offensive line coaching, terrible. We haven't had an offensive line since Russ Grimm, and we hear from the coaching staff that the offensive line is fixed, it's all good, and then all of a sudden we're cutting players that, hey, they might have been good on the line, and everyone on 102.5 is like, hey, we're a little bit thin at right guard, and all of a sudden we have a practice squad player against a top three defensive tackle, and Mariota's getting his head ripped off all game, and I mean, he made some good throws, he missed some easy throws. It is what it is. I don't think he's the guy long-term that's going to win you a Super Bowl, but I definitely don't put a lot of the blame on him from last night when, even with a clean pocket, he was stepping into offensive linemen. So I'm frustrated. I think the defense should just go on strike and pull a Minkah Fitzpatrick and be like, screw this. If we're going to be the number three defense in the league, we're not going to put up with this kind of crap. So, yeah, that's my rant. I'm frustrated, and I think we're going to win next week, like y'all just said a few minutes ago, by 3 touchdowns, and then Buffalo is going to be a 9-2 game. I mean, it's going to be an embarrassment for the Titans nationally again. So it's been a decade of this ever since, you know, Mason and Eddie George and all those guys. So I'm frustrated as a fan, but, you know, here we are. This is Groundhog Day for Titans fans.
All right, Drew, we appreciate you checking in, buddy.
You know, it's what's funny, and Derek, I don't know if you could speak to this or not, because generally you guys played on pretty good offenses, but there has to be a point. Like, if they lose to the Falcons, 17-14, 17-10, and the defense, quote, did its job. And the defense continues to do its job, mm-hmm. and the offense continues to not. You know how that can drive a wedge into a locker room.
Of course.
College, pro, doesn't matter. When one half of the ball is not doing their job, it can create a dangerous tension in the locker room.
If
you're Dean Pease, you're ticked off right now, aren't you?
Privately.
You're doing your job.
Yeah.
You're getting no help.
But, I know Dean. He's not going to approach it like that. He's just like, listen, guys, let's just keep on doing what we do. Eventually, hopefully, the offense will catch up. But if they don't, then we just got to go out. We have to take the attitude of we got to go out here and win games for our team. You know, and it's not that we're upset with anyone, games for our team. You know, they're capable of keeping the Titans in games because they have. Even in the losses, they are able to keep them in games. Now it's up to the offense to, you know, score some points. And, you know, I know it is frustrating for Titan fans when you see just about everybody across the league, you know, at times making it look so easy with their offense and moving the ball methodically down the field. And then you have the Tennessee Titans, and, you know, you take away that 43-point outburst, you know, which I still say it was just one of those false, you know, it was one of those things where it's not what it looks like.
I mean, nine points of that were scored by the defense.
Exactly. So it's like I can understand the Titans fan frustration, where why is it that year after year after year after year we have to be the team that struggles to score points, and we have the same questions over and over again.
In an era of football where the league is set up for the offense to excel, mm-hmm. the defense has no advantage, points are at an all-time high, yards are at an all-time high, and the most simplistic things offensively mm-hmm. are a challenge for this team.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, that's what they're trying to – that's why fans, when they call into our show, or they call into Darren, Donick, and Chase, or Jared and the GM, they're just frustrated. Like, what do we have to do to score points like some of these other teams? Now, everybody's not scoring points willy-nilly. I'm not saying that.
I mean, the Super Bowl was, like, what, 13-3?
Yeah, so – but if you look at it, man – you know, you have a bunch, you have a handful of teams that you figure the Titans are better. I mean, you got Baltimore scoring 41 points a game, even though it's two games. New England, they're always in the 30s, but San Francisco, 36, Kansas City, 34, Dallas, 33, the Rams, 28, 26 by Philly. You know, Seattle, they're averaging over 24 points. Washington, the Redskins, are averaging over 24 points. Buffalo, they're averaging over 22 points. And then you look at the Titans, it's 22 points, but it's a false 22 points.
And it's too early. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but I can understand what Titan fans, because when they watch it, it's almost like just like grinding and gritting their teeth the whole way through.
As I said to start the show, you will never go from good to great with number 8. You better just accept it, because good to great, you know what's going to happen if this team does underachieve this year.
Uh-huh.
Let's say they finish 7-9 or 8-8. We're going to look at good to great the way we did brick by brick.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, yeah.
Like, what's the other slogan you got?
Catchy, pithy little slogans only work if you're winning games.
Yeah. What's the other slogan you got?
Oh, from.
Yeah.
From
FROMM. Yeah.
From Marcus to Jake, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
It is. T-shirts are in production right now.
You guys, I just like it.
You guys know how much I love Jake Fromm, but suggesting that Jake Fromm is somehow better than Marcus
Mariota. I just like it. I love the slogan. I love it.
All right, let's get more calls. 737-1025. Ron is next on Morning Drive. You go ahead, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, bud.
Hey, first of all, this is for Taylor Lewan. I've never called. I've been a Titan fan since the beginning. Back when I was a kid, when you cheated, that was called cheating. And that's called performance-enhancing drugs. That's cheating. You let the team down. Now everyone looks at it differently. You know, well, he's not going to have that stuff now. So what's he going to look like when he comes back? Last night I had to take a couple ibuprofen along with a couple extra drinks to watch that game. It was embarrassing. We have no heart. D Mace, you had heart. We used to have heart. We ain't got no heart no more. That's the way it is. I don't understand it. And Mariota, he's a good quarterback, maybe below average. I'm not really sure. But there was a lot of bad passes last night. There was no continuity. It was embarrassing. I mean, it was one of the worst games I've ever watched as a Titans fan. And it's getting tough to be a Titans fan. And I'll just leave it at that, guys.
Appreciate the call, Ron.
And I think there's a difference between first half Mariota, second half Mariota, and then garbage time Mariota. I'd throw the garbage time out, 80 yards passing basically in garbage time. But he was excellent in the third quarter. He was terrible in the first half. Pro Football Focus has attributed the sacks from last night. Only one of them is on Marcus, according to them. Three of them on Conklin. The Jameel Douglas got, according to Pro Football Focus, in the passing grade, D, and I know you're a big PFF guy, a 12.4 pass block rating. Dude, I've never seen anything below a 40.
Man.
Like, on anybody's skill. Like, how do you get a 12?
You would think if you're an offensive lineman, as long as you just stood in front of your defensive
right.
player, you'd get higher than a 12.
Right. How was Ben Jones the best pass-blocking offensive lineman? I mean, that's where we can kind of get into the discussion about Pro Football Focus. But again, if you care about those numbers, they aren't the end-all, be-all. But if you care about those numbers, Jones a 78, Kelly a 77, Conklin a 68, Saffold a 58, and Douglas a 12.
It is performances like the last 2 weeks why I kind of butted heads with you, D-Mace, on the air Monday when you went on your rant about Titans fans not showing up and, you know, you should be there to support your team. The way they've played the last 2 weeks since doing what they did to the Cleveland Browns, I do not blame one person if the next home game there's 25,000 empty seats.
Well, that's the way it's been every game for the last 5 years.
30,000. 35. It's friends and family only.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't blame them.
They were in playoff game outside of the Colts game last year, Week 17, when they had a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. The stadium's been empty largely. I mean, outside of the Eagles game and the Patriots game, there were a lot of fans for those two games last year. Two giant wins where the offense played great and the defense was pretty good. I don't know. The fan thing is we've had that conversation a million times. I don't know what's new about that equation. Changing coaches, same story. You know what I mean?
7371025. Luke is next on Morning Drive. What's up, Luke?
Hey, how are we doing this morning?
Good.
I preface this by I'm a Dolphins fan, but Titans are my number two. And I've watched a lot of Tannehill, and they were comparing Tannehill and Mariota on the NFL Network pregame last night. Like, should they go to Tannehill? As a Dolphins fan, I would say that the outcome is not going to be a whole lot different. I do feel like they're the same quarterback, so to speak. And when Tannehill was first in the league, the first 3 or 4 years, he didn't know how to audible, so they would not let him audible. So I'm saying that I would stick it out with Mariota for the year. And if he gets injured, put Tannehill in, but the result is not going to be much better. And D-Mace, if you can do me a favor, can you tell Darren McFarland to please wash his car? So maybe we can get some rain here in Middle Tennessee.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, that's the ongoing joke. When Darren washes his car, it rains the next day.
Well, please wash your car, dude. My plants need some water.
Old man.
Double dip himself.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Titans offense.
Why are you looking at them?
Yeah,
no, what is there to look at?
I'm sorry.
It's not good for your health.
I'm saying as far as points per game. And Marcus got in the league, 2015, 14, somewhere around
15 was for sure.
Yeah. This team, they've only averaged over 21 points since Marcus. And I'm not saying it's all Marcus's fault. I'm not saying that. But they've averaged over 21, 22 points one time since he's gotten here. Now, this year, they're over 20 points because of the 43-point.
Right. It's too early to tell what they're going to be.
But,
it looks like they're going to be bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can see why Titan fans are just, like, at its wit's end as far as why isn't our offense able to score points consistently.
Yep.
Not to say you got to score 30 points or 35 points every game, but why aren't you scoring at least 23, 24 points consistently in a league that affords the quarterback to sit back and toss the ball around the yard where it's a quarterback-driven league, it's a passing-driven league. And if you can't, pass the football and score points, I see why they're frustrated.
Coming up next, it is time for our Morning Drive Pigskin Picks Against the Spread. That's after this here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Pigskin Pick'em starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Nick, Chase, yeah, you know who you are.
Let's go now. Let's go now.
Ah, yes, indeed. Time for the Morning Drive Pigskin Picks Against the Spread. We do it each and every Friday at 9:30. And we really have nothing to brag about because we are all collectively in the hole this season. Last week, I was 3-5. D-Mace, you were 2-3. Braden, you were 1-3.
Yikes.
Hollywood, you were 1-2. Actually, technically, the only guy with a 500 record or better is Hollywood at 3-3. And I was actually talking to some, you know, some customers, some clients.
Oh, okay.
Very down on Derek Mason. A man who once floated on water with picks.
Why do they hate Vanderbilt so much?
Said he was the Bill Belichick of this piece.
Clearly
fallen on tough times.
It's only second week, going into the third week. I'm coming back. Don't worry about it, people.
6-8 on the year?
Yeah, I'm coming back. Right. I'm about to go on a run here. Stick with me now.
So what are we as Stick a combined unit here? We are a combined 26 for 35? Yeah.
Man, we're bad, fellas. We're like the Titans, man.
That's why we have Lee on the show. Listen to Lee. He goes 10-2.
There you go. All right. So who wants to lead it off today? I know
Who's
I've got
the best record. You?
No. As far as win percentage,
Marquise does.
Hello, fellas.
That's NFL.
I was about to.
We'll
give
get
me,
to NFL in just.
I was
a
about
second,
to give you guys my picks.
Braden, you're 5-12. Derek, you're 6-14. It's pretty close.
It's all bad.
You want me to get mine out of the
How
way?
How about you look at your your numbers. I'll go ahead and give you mine.
All right. Good.
All right. I'm taking dogs this week, baby. I'm taking a lot of dogs. The puppies are barking. Cal +2.5 at Ole Miss. The wrong team is favored. Cal's a ranked team, really good on defense. Ole Miss has not looked that good this year, even against lesser competition. Not sure why Cal is an underdog in this one. I thought they'd be favored. So give me Cal +2.5. I think it opened at 3. People have been betting on Cal, so the number's coming down. Michigan +3.5 at Wisconsin. Again, I think the wrong team is favored here. Wisconsin, 25-point loss to Michigan last year. I'm not sure what's that different about these two teams. Just a week off for Michigan to prepare. Auburn +4 on the road at Texas A&M. I'm going with Lee on this one. That's just a blind. I liked Auburn before. Lee cemented my feelings on that one. Give me Auburn +4 at A&M. And then a couple favorites for you guys here. Central Florida -10 at Pittsburgh. UCF has been an easy winner the last couple of weeks against the spread. And they know this is a marquee game for them where they have to have style points if they want to get into the playoff because after this, it's not a lot of big games. West Virginia -4.5 at Kansas. West Virginia, big winner last week. Kansas sucks. Missouri -8.5 at home against South Carolina. So Cal, Michigan, Auburn, UCF, West Virginia, and Missouri, my picks this week. Six of them. I'm going bigger this week.
I've got three college picks, two of which you are on, Braden, so I already hate myself for taking these.
Oh, no.
I am going to back your boy Jim Harbaugh, +3.5 at Wisconsin. Paul Christ is 12-12 against the spread as a home favorite in the Big Ten, meaning he does not perform well when he's supposed to. Give me Harbaugh +3.5.
I'll feel dirty about that a little bit? Like,
yeah, I do.
Agree with me and pick Harbaugh?
And if they don't cover,
prepare. Derek hates Michigan,
you might want to you might want to mute me and block me on Twitter and on your phone because I'm just going to unload.
That's fine.
But Auburn on the road, a 4-point dog against Texas A&M. Lee said it in the series. The road team is 6-0-1 against the spread. So give me Gus Malzahn and the boys +4. And then, as I said yesterday on Silly Underdog Picks, Derek Mason, I am taking the Northwestern Tigers. Huh?
They've won 3 straight.
Wildcats. Nobody's team plays harder than Pat Fitzgerald's kids. Those kids come to compete every week despite a talent disparity.
One of the weirdest stories, though, Hunter Johnson, former 5-star recruit from Clemson, who's their starting quarterback, has been terrible this year. It's really everyone expected him to be great, but they've won 3 straight against the Spartans, I believe.
Northwestern 9.5-point home underdogs. Michigan State let down last week against Arizona State. Their undefeated season is over. They come in flat to Evanston, Illinois, and I'm going to take Northwestern to win the game outright.
Oh, wow.
Schizophrenic offense for Michigan State.
I hate you.
Your boy Lowry stinks.
Whatever.
He just back and forth they go.
Yeah, he's so up and down. All right. First, Temple, Buffalo. 3:30 kickoff, Eastern time. Over, under.
Temple, Buffalo?
Temple, Buffalo. They're playing.
Okay. Two decent teams.
Yeah, in Buffalo. Wherever Buffalo plays, that's where they're playing.
It's in Buffalo.
Yeah, in Buffalo, New York.
Although, didn't somebody talk to Josh Allen about, like, not being a, like, oh, these quarterbacks in New York? And he's like, actually, I play in New York.
I'm one of them. Over under 50. I'm going with the 50.5, may I add. I'm going with the over on that one. All right. You got it?
Yeah, we're good.
South Alabama at UAB.
USA and UAB.
All right. 48.5 is the over under. I'm going over on that one. Okay? Don't look at me like that, man. I'm giving you what I got. All right. Appalachian State, North Carolina.
Ooh.
58 over under. Carolina, they hadn't, I'm going under with that one.
58.5?
Yeah,
under?
I'm going under 58.5. Now, I'm going to give you a real game here, all right? Give you a real game.
App State, North Carolina is not bad, actually.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I'm going with Alabama once my screen come back up, yeah.
They're playing Southern Miss.
Alabama plays Southern Miss. Now, this is a tricky one because I figure Southern Miss is not going to score, but the over-under is 61 points. I got to go over. I don't think Alabama puts up 61 points, but I don't think Southern Mississippi scores. So
you're taking
I'm
the
saying
under?
The under. Yeah, I'm okay. saying Alabama puts up 50 points.
This is a mess.
You know, so. And then.
What was the number for that? For Bama, Southern Miss? 61 and a half?
61 and a half, okay. Yeah. And then Tennessee, Florida.
Oh, there we go.
49 points is the over-under.
Uh-oh.
I'm going under. I'm going under. I think it's going to be sort of a low-scoring game. Going under.
Okay,
Hollywood Munson, you got your NFL picks because you are the collective leader in the clubhouse at 3-3 on the year.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to go Green Bay Packers -7.5 against Denver.
Green Bay -7.5 against Denver.
Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay -7.5 against Denver. I will go Atlanta Falcons +1.5. I will also go Chiefs -6.5 against the Ravens.
Ooh, Lee called for the outright upset of Baltimore there.
I don't know what that means. I'm not really into politics, but I will go Tampa Bay I'll go Giants +6.5 against the Tampa Bay.
Than me.
I think he just switched sides in the middle of his pick.
I did actually.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Is it, you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Well, I mean, just, you know, you're the leader. I was going to give you the airtime.
I mean, I can give you one more. Let me go Arizona -2 against Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, how about that?
Arizona's favorite over Carolina.
Wow. It's over for Cam Newton, boys. It's over. He's done.
Yikes. I mean, his arm shot right about now. He's hurt. He's injured.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
What about your NFL picks?
Hollywood jumped all over him. I'm not even going to give him this week. I can't pick NFL winners anyway.
You can't?
I stink. I'm legitimately.
Not with that kind of attitude.
Legitimately.
Come on, we need you to get back in the saddle, buddy.
First 2 weeks in the NFL, 1-7.
Well, that means you're bound to win now.
I can't pick a Titans game straight up, much less a game against the spread.
Yeah, you got a point there.
It's outrageous.
Why is that?
Hey, man, I just hate Sundays anymore.
Just got to dust yourself
off. I'm
going
to go rake leaves.
Got to dust yourself off and try again, man.
Your leaves, they're falling, right?
Pick yourself up.
They're falling now, right?
Quit. Don't let a muffed punt affect you in week 1 and 2, all right?
Sometimes a muff will affect everybody.
Hey, man, just go to your local establishment up the street. You know, there's a few Mexican restaurants near you that are really good, man. Go there, have some Tito's, man, and just, you know, watch Sunday football, man.
All right, the big finish is coming up next. Just stay there.
Guys. Listen, Nick is done on Sundays. He's finished, right? You're so exhausted and tired. The Titans' offense is putrid and atrocious. And then your air conditioning unit breaks. That would be awful. That'd be a terrible weekend. Well, I got a plan for you. I can't fix the Titans' offense, nor can Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, but they can totally fix your AC unit and your heater. Obviously, the heater not working right now. We got a little break in the weather yesterday, but your AC unit's still working overtime, which means you need an emergency plan to fix an awful offensive line. And Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, again, they can't fix the Titans, but they can absolutely fix your AC unit. They'll give you great information. They'll come to your house, give you a full diagnostic, lay out all the information, give you all the different potential options that can fix the problem, right? They'll give you option A, B, and C, and let you decide what's best for your family. And if it means replacing an entirely new unit, they've got great financing options no matter what the option you choose. But if you need a whole new unit, like an entirely new offensive line, they got a great financing option. How about this? No interest, no payments for 5 years. You've heard me say it a million times. No interest, no payments for 5 years for qualified buyers on new equipment. It's a great deal. It puts off that huge cost till later in the year. Till later, 60 months. It's fantastic. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, they're locally owned. Over two decades of experience in Middle Tennessee, understanding the heat. They're fantastic. You've rewarded them with your business. So they opened a second office out there in Dixon, south of Highway 100. That's what happens to a successful business. They grow. Because they're doing such good work. Trust them. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com is the website. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Let them be your emergency plan. Tell them Braden sent you. SpringHillAC.com.
The game. We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. Right now, let's give away some tickets, though, before we get to the rewind. If you want a pair of tickets for Nashville SC and the Pittsburgh Riverhounds tomorrow at First Tennessee Park, just be caller 5-615-737-1025. But Braden Gall, the big finish, is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club, of course, Nashville SC. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com. They've clinched a playoff spot for the second consecutive year.
Woo-hoo!
So congrats to Nashville SC. Go to NashvilleSC.com for tickets next year.
All right, let's get to the rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, live from Kitchen Notes here on a Football Friday. And we will ramble on for the next 4 hours about what could have been one of the most ugliest, brutal, difficult watches for Tennessee Titans football that I can recall in at least the existence of this show.
In week one, complete team effort in a good way. Week two, complete team effort in a not so good way. Last night, in my opinion, a complete team effort. Everybody on the same page of sucking. All on the same page. A complete team effort of being bad, including the coaching staff.
They stomped a mud hole in the Cleveland Browns in week one, and it's almost as if they already crowned themselves as going from good to great. And the last 2 weeks against divisional opponents, you have no piss and vinegar in your step at all.
I know where you're going to go with Delaney.
What did I tell you? Yeah. And y'all, people, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about when I say certain things. That whole they are who we thought they were, that stuff, it comes to bite you, man. Just leave it alone. Because you know what? The Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars could say the same thing about y'all. They are who we thought they were. Gardner Minshew wasn't the reason why Jacksonville was losing prior to playing Tennessee, but he was the reason why Jacksonville won that game last night. Say what you want to say, the kid was dropping dimes. He even had passes dropped that was in receiver's hands. Yeah. This kid, he was the second coming of Joe Montana last night. No, I'm just playing people. But no, the young man did exactly what he was supposed to do. And I heard all yesterday, they're not going to lose to Gardner Minshew. He's trash. Jacksonville is trash. Jalen Ramsey is destroying the team. Let me tell you something about that.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus. Boys, I'm officially done.
All right. I am done.
Tell us why you're done, boss. Tell us why you're done, son.
And you know I'm not an overreactionary guy. I'm not a hot take guy. I do the opposite of what the guy does from 2 to 6.
Tell us why you're done, son.
But here's the deal. You're never going from good to great with number 8. It is officially...
Say that again.
You are never going from good to great with number 8. Just a fact. And look, Marcus Mariota is like a cruise ship. He's a big vessel out at sea. He's taking on water. I'm getting off the ship. If you want to stay on the boat,
the drain has been.
By all means, you stay. When you decide to get off, I'll toss you a life vest. There will be a little boat for you to get in, and we will swim to shore.
This is what makes Marcus so frustrating. Is you see these flashes, you're like, oh my God, there it is. There it is, right there. And then you, on a really tough throw down the field to Adam Humphries, who's being covered by a Jalen Ramsey, and you're going, man, that's a great throw. And then you look at him and he goes, Adam Humphries is standing 8 feet away, wide open, and you can't throw him the football. And you're going, why can't you make the easy throw too? The one where Tajay's down the seam in the third quarter and he's open, and Marcus and Tajay aren't on the same page. The ball goes outside, Tajay goes inside. Somebody's wrong. Probably Marcus, probably Tajay, probably both at this point. So it's this flash of brilliance followed by a complete whiff that makes you so frustrated as a fan.
I'm going in the t-shirt business. The first slogan on the shirt is, you ain't going from good to great with number 8. What do you want, a medium? You want a large?
I need a medium.
Like a, you like them tiny.
I need a medium.
Yeah, you like really tight.
Now, the other one I'm going to trademark, since I'm done with Marcus, how about this one for a t-shirt? From Marcus to Jake, what will it take?
See, this is...
Not from, but
yeah, no,
from.
We got you. We got you.
From Marcus to Jake,
put your,
what will it take?
Put your khakis on and go somewhere else.
Give me the man between the hedges.
17 sacks in 3 weeks is the worst for any quarterback in 2 decades in the NFL. 2002 is the last time a quarterback has been sacked 17 times in 3 games. That's the worst start for a quarterback in 2 decades. So it clearly has to be laid at the feet of Taylor Lewan. Some of this.
Didn't he get beat up yesterday? Last year?
Oh, but
hey, focus.
No, but
didn't
but,
he get beat up last
but,
year?
But Demas, don't tell that to the Titan fanboys out there with their podcasts and their blogs and their free Taylor shirts and the Bussin' with the Boys. And he's got all his buddies on doing a podcast. Stop sticking stuff in your body that's not acceptable. You cost your team 2 games.
Yeah.
Demas, what's up with the dating advice, homie? Help a brother out here.
Hey, man, if you want me to help you out, come on out tonight.
Oh, I thought you were about to hit me with Cool Springs MD or something.
Oh, yeah, that'll help you out, too.
I feel like that's for later in the marriage, not beginning of the dating.
Yeah, you should be all right in that category.
A Florida man listed a Bugatti on Craigslist, and it was not actually a Bugatti. It was a Mercury, a 2002 Mercury.
Like, if you're in the market for a Bugatti, you know what a Bugatti looks like.
Yes, and you're not looking on Craigslist.
And you're not buying one on Craigslist.
Wow. I wonder if he had a bunch of callers, like people calling to inquire about the car.
People are so dumb.
Like $125,000 for a Bugatti that costs $1 million.
You are so dumb.
Nah, not really. I would do the car, you brother.
I mean, I know people look
Why
at
are people on
for
Craigslist?
Cars.
Yeah,
exactly. What are you on Craigslist for anyway?
We bought a crib almost on Craigslist.
A house?
No, look. And I'm white. Come on.
Hell yeah.
Like an actual crib.
The ham and chive biscuit is delectable.
It's good. Strong roll.
So good.
Delectable is a good word, by the way.
It is.
Very underutilized.
Yummy. Yum, 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 yum.
All right, let's get to your Titans calls on that note.
Nice commentary, D.
Good talk, boss.
Squeeze it, rip it, and rip it.
Oh, yes. The Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
Rip it, rip it.
Man, when taken out of context, we do a dirty show.
Squeeze it, grip it, and rip it.
Derek, what are you doing this weekend? Giving love advice tonight.
Giving love
at
advice,
City Winery. Tickets are sold out, man. You can't even get in the building.
City Winery, come and check me out.
People can't get in. They'll be out the doorway.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next. They'll lead you right into Jared and Floyd, who will lead you into some Predators preseason hockey tonight as the puck drops at 6 o'clock down in Tampa Bay to take on the Lightning. 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Back in Nashville tomorrow, a 7 o'clock puck drop against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Have a great rest of your Friday. Enjoy the football weekend, boys, and we'll do this again on Monday.
Absolutely. Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a great weekend, and I love you.